Tonight, if you would, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Tonight, once again, working, doing some things here in the what's called the Beatitudes. In Matthew, chapter 5, we find the Lord tells His disciples that they are a blessed people if certain things take place in their life. 2 weeks ago, we dealt with the first part of the passage of Scripture there in chapter 5 that says, "Blessed are the pure." Blessed are the poor. And then last week in verse number 8, blessed are the pure. And tonight in verse number 10, we'll read verse 10, 11, and 12. And it's dealing with blessed are the persecuted. And so tonight we'll look at these verses and note some things about the persecuted for the sake of the Lord. Verse number 10, Matthew chapter number 5. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." The last verse there, verse number 12, tells us that persecution is not anything that is new. There's always been persecution, and we'll look a little bit of that tonight about what has been in the past as far as persecution, what the Scripture tells us. And He tells us here to rejoice. Now, we talk about persecution. I don't think anybody enjoys thinking about being persecuted. We have a lot of different persecution in our world in which we live. But tonight we're dealing with persecution because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have on my computer and my phone an app. And ever so often, about every week or so, I get an alert to pray for certain places in this world that are suffering persecution. And many times it's very hard persecution. I'm sure that in America tonight, there's very few Americans that really know what persecution's all about. We certainly do not recognize it as what the Scripture tells us. We have not had to undergo those things because of the Lord's goodness to us and His grace. And we have a government, we have a nation where we have the protection that we are enjoying tonight, that we can come into the house of the Lord and not worry about what somebody might say or do or think about us. And we have the right and we have the responsibility toward God. But we have the right, as far as our nation is concerned, that we can come and worship together. But for the most part, around this world, they do not have that right. They do not have that ability to worship God or to speak for the Lord or sometimes even to live righteously because of oppression. And because of persecution. Persecution, I put a question down here. Is it a curse or is it a blessing? You read history, you'll find that much persecution has taken place. And it seems as though we would think in human terms and in humanity, we would think what a terrible thing that persecution comes to an individual. And physically, mentally, in many ways, it is a very terrible a thing to go through. But on the spiritual side, persecution can bring us closer to the Lord. Persecution can bring us closer together with God's people. And sometimes we just realize that it is God that is helping us to get through those areas sometimes that is before us. Now, we all want to avoid persecution. I don't know of anybody tonight that would raise their hand and say, "I volunteer, I don't care to be persecuted." We would not do that. But sometimes it comes to us. Sometimes it comes because we have failed the Lord. And sometimes it comes to us because He desires to make us stronger in the work of the Lord. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms for Israel, some of their persecution came because they had failed God. They had forgotten the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 106, verse 13 through 15, it says, "They soon forgot His words and waited not for His counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. That's talking about the desert trail, the wilderness from Egypt to the promised land. They tempted God in the desert, and he gave them their request and sent leanness unto their soul. And so there was problems that came to the people of Israel because they rejected the Lord. They tempted God there as they traveled, and the Lord gave them leanness. He gave them their request. He gave them what they really desired, and when they got that, they didn't know how to handle it. They didn't know what to do with it. They didn't know how to accept it. And so we find that we find many references in the Scripture about this thing of persecution. But in Matthew 5, the Lord, as he speaks to his disciples, we've made this statement, I guess, every time, that he was not speaking to the multitudes. He was not speaking to lost people. He was speaking to his disciples and telling them that they would be blessed when these things came into their life. And tonight he says, blessed are they which are persecuted. And so we want to deal just a little bit along that line of persecution. Through the eyes of the Bible, we find there are many people that have undergone terrible ordeals in their life, and much of it is because of just their living for God. I guess some of the best examples we have in the Scriptures found in Hebrews chapter number 11. That's that chapter that has all the heroes of the faith, those that live by faith, those that serve God by faith, those that even died by faith. But the last portion of Hebrews chapter 11 talks about the many heroes that are in the Scripture. And he says in verse 32, says, what shall I more say? And so the writer here of chapter 11, he says, what else can I say? He's dealt with Isaac, he's dealt with Jacob, he's dealt with Joseph, he's dealt with Moses, all the Abraham, all those different ones that we know. And it comes down to the point, he says, what else can be said? And then he begins to mention some persecutions that came to the people of God. He says in verse number 34, some of them were quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. He says in verse number 35, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Verse number 37. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. So here are some folks that are undergoing persecution because of who they serve. They serve God. And you'll find that these heroes that are given to us in chapter 11, they are listed and named, and much of them, much of their persecution came because of who they served, and of course they served Jehovah God. And so the history of persecution is all throughout the Scripture. From the very beginning to the very moment that we live right now, you'll find that there are many persecutions that are given to us in the Bible. The first persecution that I think of, notice there in verse number 10, it says, blessed are they which are persecuted. It doesn't stop there, but it says, for righteousness' sake. They're persecuted because of their righteousness. They're persecuted because they are holy. They're persecuted because they have a relationship with the Lord, and that brought about persecution in their life. The first one that you can find in the Scripture is this man, these two boys by the name of Cain and Abel. You know the story that Adam and Eve had those two sons, and Cain and Abel. One was a tiller of the ground, one was a keeper of the flock. And you know the details of how that Cain rose up and slew his brother Abel. And you know the reason why he did that is because God accepted Abel's sacrifice, his offering, that was a blood offering that represented the death of a being, and that blood was applied and was given, and Cain, his offering was the fruit of his works. It was the first fruits of the ground. It was what he did in the flesh, and he offered his offering. Abel offered his offering, and Cain rose up and killed Abel because of righteousness, because God accepted the offering that Abel did and refused Cain's offering. And so this first persecution was a murder. It was a struggle between two brothers, and it was a struggle that came about because of righteousness, because of holiness, because of living the way the Lord had told them to live. I believe Adam and Eve taught their boys what sacrifice was all about. Because when they sinned, God had to kill an animal to clothe them, and that represented the blood sacrifice that clothes mankind, and righteousness comes upon us. And I believe Adam taught his sons what the sacrifice was all about and why, but yet Cain refused that. Abel accepted it. Abel gets persecuted and killed because of righteousness. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You find the prophets of the Old Testament. We just read a few things there in Hebrews chapter 11. Some of those that we read about were some of the prophets. But you can read back in the Old Testament. You'll find many of the prophets were persecuted because they were following the direction that God gave them. I think about Jeremiah. He was that one that's called the weeping prophet because he wrote the Lamentations. And the word Lamentations just means tears or weeping. And Jeremiah lamented over the sins of Israel. He was a righteous man. He was the prophet of God. He was God's spokesman to Israel, and he spoke the truth, and he gave them exactly what God told him to give them, and they rejected that, and he finds himself many times in a pit. He finds himself in a struggle. He finds himself being persecuted. At one time, the scripture says they plucked out his beard. They threw him in a pit. They left him for dead. And that was all because of what? Righteousness' sake. It was all because of his relationship with Jehovah God. Then you come to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly we could understand, we can identify him as that one that was persecuted from the very time that he began his earthly ministry to the time that he died and rose again. And even still today, people, men and women, are against him because of righteousness' sake, because of who he was and what he did, what he said, and the actions that he did. You'll not find one thing in the New Testament that Jesus ever did anything wrong to anyone, but yet they hated him, despised him, and finally did crucify him because of who he was. And so the history of persecution goes all the way back to Genesis, comes into the New Testament scenes. You go on from the time of Christ, you find the apostles and the church in the book of Acts. They were a persecuted group of people. Paul many times was placed in jail because of his preaching. Much of the New Testament was written from a jail cell that Paul was in because of the ungodliness that was around him and persecuted him because of righteousness' sake. So when the Lord said that, he knew exactly why people were being persecuted. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you come down through what we call the Dark Ages, the people of God have been persecuted. They were killed. They were destroyed. They were treated terribly because of the righteousness that they had. So the apostles and the church have certainly undergone persecution of this world. It has been estimated that 70 million people have been put to death or have died since the death of our Lord Jesus Christ for righteousness' sake. That's a lot of people. Just not that they were criminals, not that they were murderers, not that they had a problem with society. just because they were righteous. I've mentioned this book many times. All you have to do is read Fox's Book of Martyrs. That book gives you the details of so much persecution down through the ages. And so the church has undergone persecution because of righteousness. There is a statistic that says there is a Christian that is martyred every 5 minutes in every day because of righteousness' sake, because of who they are. And so, is suffering a curse or is it a blessing? Well, it would be a curse if I'm going through that. But it's also a blessing to realize the Lord can deliver us through all those things. So that's a short history of the persecution. We could take a whole year and just study persecution in the church age. You can study it in the Old Testament because it is the pages of history are spotted with the blood of the saints of God. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. He says then in verse number 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward. You see, God does not let those things go unnoticed. God doesn't forget about where people are and how they're treated by mankind and how they are despised by the wicked society of this world and the devil. There's a reason for the persecution. Not only is there a history, but there's a reason for persecution. And it is identified in the Bible that is because, and I've already mentioned, it's because of righteousness. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12, says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. So we know that John tells us that Cain was of that wicked one. He was of the devil. And he certainly had the traits and the tenets of the devil. He says, not a Cain who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Why did he kill Abel? The Bible is clear. Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Cain rose up against Abel because his words, his works were wicked and evil. But he rose up against Abel because his works were righteous and acceptable unto God. The Gospel of John chapter 15 verse 20 says, remember the word which I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If ye have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So if they have persecuted the Lord, he said, then they will persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So the reason that the struggles are going on, the reason that the world is undergoing much turmoil tonight, most of it is over righteousness. You see, there's a battle that goes on. We don't see it. We see the results of it. But I believe there's a great spiritual battle that goes on worldwide all the time between unrighteousness and righteousness. That which is wicked turns against that which is righteous. And therefore there is persecution. I don't have to tell you this if you study history just a little bit. Most every war that this world has ever been in has been a religious war. It has been because of religion. Now that's not necessarily righteousness, it's just religion. But when you deal with religion, you deal with righteousness, you deal with the right things of life, the devil is going to rise up, he's going to stand up, and he inflicts persecution and troubles upon the people of God. As I said a moment ago, I doubt you and I understand persecution. I've never had any problem really with persecution. Well, sometimes we get down in the mouth because somebody talks about us. That's not persecution. Sometimes we get sad when somebody does something against us that we wish they wouldn't do or say or have their thoughts that they have, and we know that, and we feel like we've been persecuted. That's not persecution. It's a struggle, it's a problem, but it's not what the Scripture... I've never seen anybody sawn asunder, as we just read. I've never seen anybody have to undergo some of the problems and some of the torments that we read about in history and we read about in the Word of God. And I get the alerts all the time. You read the histories of them. And so the reason for it is holiness and righteousness. The devil, he despises God and all of God's people. And so the history, the reason, thirdly, is what is given with us was the rejoicing of persecution. And again, I say, I don't know any of us that would volunteer for persecution and just to be able to rejoice. I can think of better ways to have a smile on my face. And necessarily, rejoicing is not smiling. That's an attitude of the heart. And he tells us here in verse number 12, rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. It's nothing new. Persecution is always there, always has been. And Jesus told his disciples, just rejoice. If I'd have thought of it, I'd have printed out tonight. I have on my in my notes how the disciples died. Every one of them, maybe except one or two, every one of them died a martyr's death because of persecution. The Apostle John was put in boiling oil and he did not die. And then he was banished to the Isle of Patmos, and there he gives us the book of the Revelation. And so there's a lot of persecution that is going on. The Apostle Peter was crucified. They crucified him and they were going to crucify him just like they did the Lord. And he requested at his death, at his crucifixion, he requested, he said, I'm not worthy to die like my Lord died. Crucify me upside down. And they did. And you can go through all the different apostles. And they suffered the struggles and the persecution because of righteousness' sake. But yet the Lord tells his disciples, knowing what's going to happen to them. You see, the Lord, when he gives this sermon on the mountain, this is the beginning of that sermon, when he begins to teach his disciples these next three or four chapters that we have in the Gospel of Matthew, that's all one sermon, the Lord knew exactly where they were going to go and what was going to happen. He knew their destiny, and he says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to stand before the Lord and have been able to undergo some of the struggles and the persecutions. 1 Peter chapter 4, the Apostle Peter writes, rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. Peter may have thought back to this instant that the Lord tells him to rejoice. Peter was there when he told them here in Matthew 5. He was talking to his disciples. And so Peter, maybe he remembers that, and he says, rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad and with all exceeding joy. Same words, same content that the Lord gave them. In Hebrews chapter 14, chapter 4, verse 15, says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Praise the Lord. Out beside that verse says, yet without sin, y'all just put a PTL, praise the Lord. He did not sin. I sin, you sin, but He was tempted. Everywhere we have been tempted, every struggle that I have had and you have had and the whole world, He was tempted at all points like us. Oh, but praise God, yet without sin, our perfect Lord. We see the persecution that is magnified. We see the godly suffer in a terrible way. Philippians chapter 1 says, according to my earnest expectation, my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Paul says, I don't want to be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be in life or in death. Paul says, if I live, I want to magnify the Lord. And Paul suffered much persecution. If I die, I want to magnify the Lord. You go over to the book of 2 Timothy, you'll find that Paul says, I'm ready to be offered. He writes that from a prison cell. I'm ready to be offered. My departure's at hand. He says, I've kept the faith. All those different things that he says there that he did. In chapter 4, he said, I'm ready. You know what? How he left this world? He was a prisoner, and his execution day was just around the corner. And they beheaded him for righteousness' sake. And he was able to say, I'm ready to be offered. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. What a glorification of God, a magnification of our God. Paul says, whether I'm living or whether I die, I want to magnify him. And I think we can certainly agree that he magnified the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. If somebody reproaches us or speaks against us just because we're a Christian, it ought to thrill our heart and say, at least they know I'm different than the world. At least I'm doing something. They realize that I'm a saved individual, that I'm a Christian, that I'm born again, that I know God. And so Peter says, if we be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are we. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. He says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody. He says in the next verse, suffer as a Christian. Suffer as a Christian. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. That's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. And Peter says, if we're reproached, we're happy. Don't be ashamed. Don't be accused. Don't be like the world. But if they speak against you and you suffer as a Christian, glorify God. Blessed are ye which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. There's a reward. He says, we shall reign with him. The reward that is given here because of the works of the individual that's a child of God, he says that our reward, verse 10 says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's a reward. You know, as a child of God right now, we're living on earth, but the Scripture identifies the kingdom of heaven as an earthly kingdom that we are in as a believer. We are in a family of God, the Scripture calls it. It's a kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, for our light affliction. Can you imagine Paul saying, my affliction is light? Well, he'd been beaten. He'd been left for dead. He'd been in prison. And he says, my light affliction. He says, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He said, it's just a light affliction, but I've got a weight of glory. And I left out a little statement there on purpose, because he says this light affliction is but for a moment. It's just a little while. Doesn't matter how old we become, doesn't matter how far we live, when compared to all eternity, it's just a moment. James says our life is like a vapor. It appears and then vanishes away. We live the process of time. We think it's been a long time. But when you compare 70 years to eternity, not hardly a vapor. Here for a moment, and then we're gone. May God help us tonight to realize this thing of persecution is not really as bad in the glory as it is in the world. And it's something that is awaiting us. And then there's a promise. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Paul says, "Thou hast known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." He puts right there in the middle of all this, persecutions. Paul said, "You know my He says, "You know my life. My life has been full of purpose. My life has been long-suffering. I've had charity. I've had patience. I've had persecution and afflictions." And then he identifies where it happened, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, and all will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Pretty clear here that what's awaiting us somewhere is some persecution. What awaits the child of God somewhere, somehow, some way, some much more afflicted than others, some many times over the struggles and the pains of upon the body. But Paul says, all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. That's a promise. God says, if you're going to live for me, there's going to be struggle. The Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 4, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye." He echoes again the words of our Lord. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye, disciples. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, and great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And Peter says, don't think it's some strange thing that these things befall us. Don't think it's something that is out of the ordinary, because we are reproached for the name of Christ. And then he says, happy are ye. Rejoice. So the reason for persecution is because of who we are. The reason that the world persecutes the child of God, and we hear so much of it today. We hear so much about the persecution around the world, and we hear about it even in our own country, of Christian ideals being under attack, and they are. Well, not to think that too strange, because the Lord said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And then he says, rejoice. Well, I believe the Lord got up that third morning, that third day, and I believe he had rejoicing in his heart. He's alive. And you and I, one day, we're going to leave this world. Our flesh is going to deteriorate. If the Lord doesn't come, we go by the way of all men, by way of death and the grave. Our flesh will deteriorate, but my soul, my spirit shall be with God. And then there's a day coming when he shall come, and Paul says that the graves, they're going to give up their dead, and we're going to have a new body, a new life. And you know what? Never, never to undergo persecution ever again. But when we are reviled, and when we are mocked, and when we are made fun, when we are even sometimes spit upon, just be glad that the world sees us as a Christian, having that identity as a child of God. And just remember, the very first persecution came, the Bible says, because of the wicked one against the righteous one. Hasn't changed from Genesis chapter 3 and 4. hasn't changed all the way to right now, 2017. It's always the wicked one against the righteous one. And then he says, happy are ye and rejoice. So these Beatitudes are good for us. They're helpful to us in the walk of life. And those disciples were going to face some things they'd never faced before. And Jesus was giving them some instruction. This is how you react. For every action, there is a reaction. Every time there's a persecution, there's a reaction to that. So just be glad, be happy, because it's for my name's sake. Let's stand tonight.